So let's take a look at page 774 in the parasha, where the Torah tells us about the consecration of the Levium. The consecration of the Levium now, because as we know, the Jews are on their march to Eretz Yisrael. This is before the Meraglim, and it's imminent in their minds and in their hearts that they're going to be going to Eretz Yisrael. And you need the Levium to be functioning in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan will function in the desert, and will also function in Eretz Yisrael, of course. And the Levium are the ones that will work in the Mishkan. So Hashem tells Moshe in chapter 8, verse 5, 6, Kaches ha-Levium, take the Levium, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'tiharta osam. And before they can work, they need to be consecrated. They need to be purified. And this is what you need to do. V'chos ha-aseh lahem l'taharam. And this is what you should do to purify them. So of course, whenever we talk about any type of ritual or ceremony of getting people ready to a new position in Jewish life, there will always be what will always be a part of the process? Mikvah. Good. What else? That's actually not always the case, but it's almost always the case, I believe. But what else somebody said? Somebody said something? Water. Okay, water, mikvah, good. What else? Please feel free to respond. Karbanos. Sacrifices. Sacrifices. So if you take a look, we're not disappointed here. The Torah tells us in verse 8 that the Levium, and there were many Levium, there were 22,000 plus Levium, 22,300 to be exact. V'lachu, they will take par ben bakar u'minchato solet b'ulav Hashem, and they'll take one bull with its flour offering mixed with oil, and the second bull, and that will be for a sin offering. The krafta es ha-Levium lifnei Ohel Moed, and the Levium will be brought before the Ohel Moed, be brought before the Mishkan, be kalta es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and you will gather all of the b'nei Yisrael, be krafta es ha-Levium lifnei Hashem, and the Levium will be placed, will be presented at that moment lifnei Hashem. The Samchu b'nei Yisrael sidem Levium, Levium will, and the b'nei Yisrael will take their hands and put it on the Levium. And Aaron, the Hainif Aaron es ha-Levium, and Aaron will take the Levium, tenufa lifnei Hashem, and he will wave them. He will wave them. And Rashi, I believe here, quotes the amazing comment of the Medrash that Aaron HaKohen himself literally waved all the Levium, not at one time, waved Levium. If you look at, take a look here, the Medrash Rabbah says that how much strength must it take for Moshe and Aaron to lift 22,000 Levium in a single day. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And they're not all 5'5", you know, and 130. You know, so they, Moshe and Aaron would lift the Levium, Meis b'nei Yisrael, v'ayu l'avod esav l'Hashem, v'alevium yisluchu yisidim arosh ha-parim, and the Levium will take their hands and put it on the bulls, v'asei esayachad chatos v'esayachad olol l'Hashem, v'chaper Levium, and one will be a sin offering, and one will be an ola offering. And then the Torah says, v'hamadita esalevium l'fnei Aaron, l'fnei banav, v'enafta osam tenufa l'Hashem, you'll stand them before Aaron, they'll be waved. And then we have here verse 14, V'hivdalta es ha-Levium mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'hayu li ha-Levium. And the Levium will thus be separated from amidst b'nei Yisrael, and they will be for me. What will they be for? The Torah says, V'achareichein yavo ha-Levium la'avod es ha-Moed. The Levium will come and they'll work in the Mishkan. And what is the basic work of the Levium? So we have three basic functions of the Levium. The Levium were from the Mishorim, the singers. The Levium were from the Mishoarim, the ones who would lock up and would be involved in the sort of, what's that?
In the place
up. Involved in the sort of the watching of the Mishkan. and they would also be involved in the carrying, the transport of the Mishkan. So Levim played a major role. They would probably be involved in the cleaning. I'm just not familiar with that. Verse 19, and there we have a dramatic pasuk, probably the most famous pasuk in terms of this whole section. Va'etna et ha-Levim. God says, and I will give the Levim. Not Levim, Nitunim la'aronu levanav. They will be given over to Aaron and his children, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, from amidst b'nei Yisrael, like b'nei Yisrael gives them to Aaron. La'avod es avodas b'nei Yisrael b'om away, to do the work of the b'nei Yisrael. U'lechaper al b'nei Yisrael, and to atone for b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yeh b'nei Yisrael negef, and there'll be no plague amidst b'nei Yisrael, b'geshes b'nei Yisrael el ha-kodesh. When B'nai Yisrael, when they will approach the Kodesh. In other words, what happened here? We have a transfer. We have an exchange. The exchange is going to be from whom to who? The exchange is from
firstborn.
The firstborn is excellent. Are now being transmitted or transferred. The Bechorim, no longer, the firstborns are no longer going to be the ones to work. But rather it's going to be what? It's going to be the Levium. And we find the Torah tells us five times in this parasha, in this pasuk, five times. B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, all five times. Rashi quotes one opinion five times to teach you that Hashem loves B'nai Yisrael. Odiyachi basan shenichpulu asgerosei b'mikrechem keminyan chamishachum sheitorah. God loves the Jewish people, and even though he's exchanging B'nai Yisrael, as it were, because it was supposed to be, as Dari said, the Bechorim, the firstborns, would be the one that would work in the Mishkan, and now an exchange is being made, as we know, connected to what famous event that caused the exchange, the event known as the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. So therefore what? So therefore Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki li kol bechor, because really I had in mind the Bechorim. But Shali hayu habechoros bekavadin shehigamti aleihem bein bechorim Mitzrayim v'lakachtem osam li, because I protected them and they were meant to be the ones to serve in the Mishkan. Achatoba egel, until they made the mistake of the eagle, and therefore what? And therefore I made an exchange. So the process, the ceremony of the Levium being dedicated is marked by bringing of karbonos. It's marked by an exchange of, by an exchange between the Bechorim and Levium. It's marked by a waving ceremony, which we will not discuss. It is marked by kibus begadim, the washing of the clothing, going into the mikvah, all of these in Yanim. But also it is marked, and I skipped one pasuk, by verse 7. The Torah says, this is back on page 774. This is what you should do to purify them. Hazei aleihem mechatas. You should sprinkle upon them the waters of purification, referring to the waters of the Parah Aduma. Veheaviru ta'ar al kol bisaram. Veheaviru ta'ar al kol bisaram, which is translated in the English, and let a razor pass over their entire flesh, which means what? Cut, right? Cut off all the hair from their body. Right? Ve'aviru tar al kol bisaram v'chibsu bigdehem v'hi teharu. And Rashi already raises the question, what's with the cutting of the hair? Rashi tells us a very interesting thing. Rashi on page 774, Pasuk Zayin, Veheaviru ta'ar matzasi b'divrei Rabbi Moshe hadarshan. I found in the words of Rabbi Moshe, v'fi shenitnu kapara al habichoros she'avdu avodah zarah. Because, after all, what was the sin? What was the sin of the firstborn? The sin was the golden calf. And the golden calf, on some level, is connected to what sin, Alan? Idolatry, excellent. V'hi kruya zivchei mesim. And that's considered to be like engaging in the sacrifice of the dead. Please don't ask me exactly what's going on with that. No, there's a death. But Avodah Zarah is ultimately connected to death. V'hamitzora kori meis. And the one who is the mitzora, that one who has those, that lesions, that physical, those bodily lesions, the mitzora is called, he's called dead. Therefore, his kikam tiglachas kimitzoraim. Therefore, the Torah equated the halacha, just like by the mitzora, we find the mitzora needs to shave his head, his hair and the head, and indeed, according to the Mishnah in Negaim, also his body, so too the Leviim. There is an equation going on between the shaving of the hair of the Mitzora and the shaving of the hair of the Leviim. Before I get into that for a moment, just want to share with you one more interesting Rashi. Remember, we talked about the idea of waving. So what does it say in verse 11? It says that Aaron will wave the Leviim. He'll wave the Leviim. So Rashi says, just like Rashi and Pasuk Yud-Aleph says, Kederech she'asha mitzora ta'un tenufa chai. Just like the asham of the mitzora, the offering that the mitzora brings, also needs to be waved. So we have an interesting comparison between the mitzora, the one who has this type of impurity, right, who is then sent out of the camp. The mitzora is compared to the Levi, and both of them have waving in terms of the offering, waving the carbon of the mitzora, waving the Levi, who is the carbon himself, and both of them have shaving. Now, just that one technical point, which I don't want to belabor, maybe at the end of the shiur, if I have time, I'll get into. But it seems to be that there's a bit of a question as to, by the mitzora, exactly what was shaved. Definitely the hair, definitely the eyebrows and anything that is revealed hair. But there seems to be a bit of a question. I told you that the Mishnah in Negaim tells us that the mitzora was shaved the whole body. However, the Ramban quotes a different opinion, the Ramban in Vayikra, that says, no, it wasn't the whole body. The Ramban seems to say that it only was the open, revealed parts of the body. Why that might be important, even though it's a technical detail, God willing, I hope we can get to at the end of this year. So we have two places that there's a concept of hair in halacha, and the concept of hair is that you shave it completely. One is a one-time event of the consecration of Leviim, and the other one is when the mitzora, yes, when the mitzora, let's go back for a moment, please turn in your chumash to Parshas Mitzora. Parshas Mitzora, we're looking now for a moment at chapter 14, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Ches, chapter 14, verse 8. In the book of Vayikra, page 620, the Torah says, there's a whole complicated ceremony that we've discussed in the past. Two birds, the purity ceremony for the Mitzorah. So what does the Torah say? V'chibes Hamitaher et Begadav, the one who wants to become pure, the one who's been sent out of the camp, the one who now wants to re-enter, he wants to rejoin Klal Yisrael. V'chibes Hamitaher, verse 8, et Begadav, he will purify his clothing. V'gilach et kol se'aro, and he will shave all of his hair. V'rachatz b'mayim, go to the mikvah. V'taher v'achar yavo el ha'machaneh. And then what? And then he will stay out. He will go into. He will be out. He will, in the first stages, he will shave all of his hair, go to the mikvah, but he still is prohibited to be with his wife. And then verse 9, v'haya b'yom ha-shvi'i, and again on the seventh day, yigalach et kol se'aro, et rosho, et zikano, et gabot einav. He'll shave his head and his beard and he'll shave his eyebrows, all of his hair, yigaleach. And Rashi says that means even the hidden parts of his body, v'chibesas b'gadav, v'rachatet b'sarob amayim b'taher. So complete shaving of the hair. And it's interesting to point out, if you take a quick look in the in this section, there is a comment that is made by the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says, that in the Torah, on page 614, where the Torah, in the previous parasha, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when the Torah talks about shaving, without going into the context, there the Torah is talking about the shaving of the Mitzorah as well, but over there, the Torah is talking about when he's Tamei. When he's Tamei, the Torah says, V'hit Galach, and the letter Gimel is in big print. You see the letter Gimel in big print? So the Baal HaTurim says, what's with the big Gimel on page 614? Chapter 13, verse 33. The Baal HaTurim says, the big Gimel, because there are three places in the Torah where we have a requirement to shave one's hair. One by the Levium, which we learned, the whole body. The other one by the Mitzorah, which according to Rashi and according to the simple Pshat in the Mishnah is the whole body. And according to maybe others, it's only the head and the face. And where's the third place, Rabosai? No, where's the third place that the Torah says that shaving is part of the process for this individual? What's that? Well, very good. You're talking about the
soldier that goes to war, captured
by the Fat Toar, by the woman, the maiden, right? Yeah. Right, who goes to war, but Gilcha et Rosha, that's what you're talking about, where there, yeah. she shaves her head. That's not her whole body, that's just the hair on her head, but that's very good. That's very good. It's not what I had in mind, therefore it's wrong. I'm talking about sort of a halachic principle of an individual, sort of like who takes upon himself a particular status. Kohen Gadol doesn't have to shave his hair. No, he has to just take a haircut every day.
The Nazir.
Me?
The Nazir. I'm going to explain who the Nazir is. Please look with me. Let's go back to last week's parasha. Three halachic constructs of complete shaving. And by the way, if you look at the Rambam on these in the Anim, like there are halachas. You know that it says in the halacha that if the mitzora shaves his hair and there are two hairs remaining, it doesn't work. Has to be that he shaves off all of his hair, and if there's one hair remaining, okay, that's all right. Like there are halachas of exactly, and he's got to, as we'll see, he's got to shave with a razor. Can't just be a scissor, with a razor. And let's, one second. That's the Torah says by the Levi, Ve'aviru tara kol b'saro. He will, right, Levi, it says a razor. A scissor isn't good enough. Even though it looks the same to me, right? Although we know in halacha, right, how many people here use electric shavers? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you use an electric shaver, that's what most opinions, many opinions say you're allowed to use electric shaver. What's the difference between an electric shaver and a razor? It doesn't look that different. The difference is whether, according to Moshe Feinstein, the difference is whether it's scissor action or razor action. And the difference between razor action and scissor action in halacha is called cutting versus destroying. The term that's used for ta'ar is hashchata, destruction. Destruction. Let's take a look at the nazir. The nazir is found in Parshas Naso, last week's parsha. Please take a look with me on page 758. Actually, page 760. And now there are a few details. I'll just tell it to you this way. There is a time that we mandate the Nazir to shave his head if he blew his Nazirut and he has to restart it again and he was Tameh. That's called Tiglachas Tum'ah. I don't want to get into that. We make him shave. But there's another time, even a regular Nazir, take a look at page 760, chapter 6, verse 13. 613. V'zos Toras HaNazir B'yom Melos Nizro. This is the Torah of the Nazir on the day that he completes his oath of the of Nazirut. Yavi oto petach amoed. We bring him to the front of the Mishkan, just like by the Levi. We bring him to the front. The Hikras Karbano, he brings the sacrifices, which we're not going to go into now. And then it says in verse 18, V'gilach ha-nazir Pesach o'a moed. And the Nazir, he shaves Pesach o'a moed at the entrance. And the Rambam Paskins, that if it's not done at the entrance, the Rambam says, it needs to be done at the entrance of the o'a moed. And if not, the Rambam says it doesn't work. Let me just make sure they got that correct. Beheichan migaleach, where does he shave? Beezrat hanashim b'lishkat hanezirim, a special chamber of the nezirim, which was in the southeastern part of the Beis Hamikdash. And the halacha says he had to be migaleach in the Mikdash. He does not shave his hair until the opening of the Azara, until the courtyard, the doors are open. Petach Omoed. Achia Petach Azara Patuach has to be open. The Rambam does say, Vim Gilech Bedina, if he did it outside the Beis Hamikdash, he is Yotze. So I was wrong with that. But the Ikar Halach is he should shave his head in the presence of the Mikdash, or in the presence of the Mishkan. And here we have a new detail. By the Nazir, the halacha is he doesn't have to shave his eyebrows. He doesn't have to shave his whole head. He has to shave the hair of the head. And we find a lot of interesting ideas of the Nazir and the hair of the head. In fact, when the Torah speaks about the word Nazir, the word Nazir, according to many, is related to the hair on the head. Where did I get that from? You'll take a look. It says over here, verse 18, V'gilach ha-Nazir petach ha-omoed et rosh nizro. The hair of his Nazirite head. And the word Nazir and head, according to many, is connected to what other word that is very much connected to the word Nazir? And that is crown. The word crown is nazir. The Torah tells us that during his time that he is a nazir, you see it's explicit in the Torah itself, the Torah tells us that during the days of his being a nazir, he is wearing the crown on his head. Where do I get that from? Where does it say that in the text? Page 758, verse chapter 6, verse 7. The Torah says he cannot become tamei to his father, his mother, etc. In the end of the pasuk, it says, "Kinezer elokav al rosho." The crown of his God is upon his head. So, listen to this interesting halacha, fascinating, almost paradoxical concept. We're into paradoxes recently. The nazir is not allowed to shave his head while he is a nazir. He is not allowed to shave. Not only that, the nazir is not allowed to use a comb. He's not allowed to brush his hair. The Gemara says a Nazir who brushes his hair, it's a psik reisha, it's definitely going to remove some hair. That's an Issur d'oraisa. It's a Torah prohibition for the Nazir to comb his hair. Why? Because he's going to remove a hair from his head. He can't remove. I think the shear is two. Can't remove hairs from his head. So while he's a Nazir, he has to let it grow wild. Which is interesting, because that he follows the Sota. And the Sota is the woman accused of marital infidelity, and her hair is also made wild. Upara et rosh ha'isha. Same word the Torah uses. Gadel pera se'ar rosho, the same etymology. Pei resh ayin. Which we're not going to probe that idea. But the Nazir, while he's a Nazir, his hair grows wild. But then, all of a sudden, when he wants to no longer be a Nazir, the Torah says he's got to shave it all. He's got to shave the hair. What does he do with the hair? Now this is interesting and unique. Look, please. What's that?
It's
Oh, very good. Look, excellent. Look, please, at verse 18. The Torah says, "V'gilach hanozir pesach ol hamoed es rosh nizo v'lokach ha'sa'ar rosh nizo." He takes the hair. What does he do? V'nasan al ha'esh asher tachas zevach hashlamim, and he puts it in the fire, which is underneath the karbon shlamim, part of the karbonos that he brings. It's part of the karbon, part of the sacrifice. Part of the sacrifice of the nazir is he takes the hair. It's mamish part of the sacrifice. He puts it in the fire. We don't find that by the mitzorah, and we don't find that even by the levium. But we find that the nazir is the one that takes his hair, puts it in the fire, part of the sacrifice. He's got to do that. So on the one hand, we have many halachas that bind the nazir, the mitzorah, and Levi. All this idea, and by the way, Levi is a one-time thing. It doesn't happen anymore after that. It's a one-time thing. Nazir and mitzorah continues. If one wants to be a nazir, that's the halacha, the way to get out of it. We don't have it today. You can't get out of it today. You can become a nazir today. A nazir? And there,
what's the function of the nazir?
Oh, that's it. That's it. We're going to get to that. Bez Hashem. We'll get to that. I have about an hour's worth of material, but I have only 35 minutes left. So I gotta move quick. The nazir is a big Indian. A big idea. So we have these three. So the question that I'd like to try to learn with you is what connects all of these ideas? The Levi, where they shave the whole body explicitly. The Nazir, that's only the head. The Mitzorah, that according to the opinion of Rashi and the simple Pshat in the Mishnah, where he shaves the whole head and the whole body. And according to Rabbi Akiva and the Ramban quoting the Torah Kohanim, the Mitzorah doesn't shave the whole body, but he shaves the head and the face. What's the connection between these three? What binds them? Why dafka the razor? What's the difference between the razor and the scissor? Why does the Nazir have the paradox of not being able to cut his hair while he's a Nazir and then must cut his hair? What is going on here? We find the mourner is not allowed to shave. What's the Indian of hair? Right? What's the idea of hair? So, I want to read to you something interesting. If you Google online, you can find a lot of interesting things about hair. Some guy gave me one of the things that us men who are in above 20 know, above 30, even above 40, know that hair is sometimes an endangered species. Mm-hmm. So some guy gave me a keratin cream. Said, "Rabbi, maybe you want to use this." I didn't ask him for it. I haven't opened it up yet. I don't plan on using it. But apparently, hair, which is made up mostly of keratin, hair has amazing capacity. Number one, hair contains information about everything that has ever been in your bloodstream, including drugs. One of the most commonly used types of forensic evidence. The only thing that can't be identified by your hair is?
Color of your
body.
What?
Your
sex.
Right, the gender.
Your what?
Gender. Men's hair and woman's hair are identical in structure. Okay? Another interesting thing. We'll see, these aren't just random facts that I'm throwing you away. All hair is dead. All hair is dead, with the exception of the hair that's still inside the epidermis of your scalp. All hair is dead. Okay? As soon as a hair is plucked from its follicle, a new one begins to grow. This is something completely random, nothing to do with this, but I think you'll be interested in this. The average number of hair strands varies by natural color, with blondes having the most and redheads having the fewest. Who cares? Okay. Hair is the fastest growing tissue in the body, aside from bone marrow. At any given time, 90% of the hairs in your scalp are growing, while the other 10% are resting. 80% of Americans wash their hair twice a day. I am not from those 80%. Each strand of hair can support up to 100 grams in weight, multiply that by the average 100 to 150,000 strands on each head, and your entire head of hair could support the weight equivalent to two elephants. So in case you're interested, we could use you as the experiment. So let me share with you an amazing comment of the Sefer HaChinuch combined with Rav Hirsch, which will give you a beautiful insight into the inyan of cutting of the hair by these three. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the classic Sefer that talks about the reasons for mitzvos, and he makes the following fascinating comment. Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Mitzora, Mitzvah 174, talking about why the Mitzora cuts his hair. And Dafka, we said he cuts his hair twice, but the second time he cuts all of his hair. The first time it's partial, second time kol se'aro. Alan, you with me?
Yeah.
You excited? Alan's you with me? Good, very good. Mishor she'a mitzvah. The root of this mitzvah says, the Sefer HaChinuch, kidei she'yireh ha'adam ki'ilu hayom nivra. Because a person should look when they finish their process of being a mitzora. The mitzora, we know, Rashi already told us, the Levi is like the mitzora because the Levi comes on the heels of idolatry, the exchange for the Bechorim, and idolatry is like death, and the mitzora is like he's dead. The mitzora is sent out of the camp. The mitzora is the one that engages in evil speech. The mitzora is the one that is a social pariah. The mitzora is the one that's badad, who's alone, away out of the machane. One of four people that the rabbis consider to be like dead is a mitzora. The mitzora is the person that has taken himself out of life. He's a living dead man. As David HaMelech says, but here in the opposite vein, lo amos ki echya, I will not die when I am alive. The mitzora is amos ki echya, I will be dead even as I am alive. And so the mitzora, when he comes, and he's not allowed to be with his wife because he's not alive. That's why the Torah says, only after he regains entry into Klal Yisrael, he can be married again. And it's very, very interesting. Very interesting concept that I saw in Halacha. Very interesting that I saw in Halacha that there's an idea that the Torah writes, based on this Rashi, that we said that the one who worships idolatry, it's like he's dead because he's distant from God. And if you're distant from God, the source of all life, you're like you're dead. So it's brought down in the beginning of in Yoredeya. Yoredeya is one of the four areas of Shulchan Aruch which talks about Jewish ritual law. So it says that a ger, a convert, after he is circumcised, the halacha says we cut his hair. Brought down, minhag almost lahalacha, he gets a haircut after he converts. And the Bach says, why? Because until he was a convert, he was distanced from God. He was like he was dead. He was like a mace. And now he's come back alive. He has that connection to God. And therefore the Trumas Hadeshin, one of the classic Svarim, Shilas and Chuvis writes, Responsa writes, that somebody who converted out of the religion, who became an apostate, and now he wants to come back. He wants to now come back to Judaism. And he wants to come back during Chol HaMoed, which is the time, the intermediate festivals of Pesach and Sukkot, and normally you're not allowed to take a haircut then. You're not allowed to get a haircut then. The Trumas Hadeshin writes, when discussing whether or not you can take a haircut during the Chol HaMoed, he writes that somebody who is a Baal Tshuva, that went from being a convert in the wrong direction, back to Yiddishkeit, is allowed to take a haircut in order to go to the mikvah. And he says it's permitted because it's like the mitzora who's coming back. And the halacha says that the nazir and the mitzora are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. And even if they had opportunity to shave before Chol HaMoed, they're still allowed to. So the inyan of the idea of the mitzora is like he's dead. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, and this is one interesting idea, that the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the Mitzora is reliving. He's coming back to life. Ki'ilu hayom nivra. It's like he's regaining life itself. And therefore, v'hayom matchil se'aro litzmoach. Why is he shaving his hair? Because once he finishes shaving his hair, when does the hair regrow? Right away. Right? And we could add, although he doesn't say this, he says, ki biyos ha'adam minuka mikol se'ar, when man is cleansed from all his hair, which we just said before is all dead. The only thing that's alive is what? Is the stuff that you can't see. The stuff that's in the epidermis. Oz yinakeh mikol lichluch yafeh. Now he's cleansed from all the overtones of death. She yinakeh gam ma'asav b'chol kocho. And he's ready to what? He's ready to re-enter Klal Yisrael. The concept of shaving is the concept of what? Of the re-entry point. The coming back into Klal Yisrael. The Jew re-emerging. He was in a very low place. The Mitzora was in a very low place. He was like dead. He shaves his hair completely. And now he's ready to regain. He's ready to re-enter. That's the Mitzora. But the Nazir is not a bad thing. Why is he a Nazir? Why is somebody a Nazir? There's a whole dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban whether it's an ideal to be a Nazir or not an ideal to be a Nazir. But let me ask you, what do you think the idea of being a Nazir is? Without getting fancy.
Something about his past. He's trying to get rid of some of his sins.
He's working on himself, right? There's something there, right? Just go ahead.
I don't know how long you want me to go.
Beautiful. That's good. Now, beautiful. I'm very impressed. He's working on himself. The Nazir is someone who he was caught up in ta'ava, in desire, and the Nazir therefore separated himself. He separates himself from what? From wine. He separates himself from desire. Gemara in Nidarim. Listen to an interesting Gemara in Nidarim. On page 9, and Daf Tes, the Gemara in Nidarim says a very fascinating thing. I'm going to maybe get back to this Gemara if we have a chance a little bit later on. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon said about himself. Rabbi Shimon said about himself that Miyamai lo achalti asham nazir tamei lechad. I never would eat from the carbon of a Nazir. Only once. Only one time. It was Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they were Nazirim. What happened? Pam echad ba adam echad Nazir min adorim. There was a Nazir from the south. Very itiv, and I saw Shehu Yafe Inayim Betov Rovi. He was beautiful, stunning. Hair is beautiful. Hair is alluring. The Al Sheikh says hair is about gaiva, arrogance. I mean, don't we all know, don't we remember? I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, the Rebbeim said, you can't grow your hair, so we all grew our hair. Right? The greatest act of rebellion for a yeshiva kid is the way he wears his hair. Right? There was a boy, when I was a Rebbe in Yula, a very, very sweet boy. But for whatever reason, he wore his hair all the way down past his shoulders. Everybody wore clean cut, he wore his hair. And there was every like 2 months we had a crisis Rabbein meeting. Should we let him? Should we not let him? He's a great boy, but what's going on? Yes, no. Hair, says the Al-Sheikh, is gaiva. It's arrogance. It's really not necessary. Many people can live without hair. But you know that, God forbid, there are times when a person is ill and they lose their hair. And it's very harrowing. It's very dehumanizing. Hair is extraneous. In classic machshava, it represents mosros. Extraneous pursuits. Yosef HaTzadik is taken to task for being misalsel bisa'aro, for swirling his hair. The Nazir lets his hair grow wild says the Gemara in Nedarim, Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik saw this beautiful looking Nazir who was unbelievably alluring, but he let his hair grow wild, and Shimon HaTzadik said, "Ma ra'ita lahashchit et se'archa zeh hana'a? Why did you destroy your hair?" Here, destruction meant you let it grow wild. Amrali roe ahiti la'aba bi'iri. He said, "I was a shepherd. Halachti la'malos mayim in a mayan. I went to fill up water from the well, and I saw the reflection. That was the mirror. V'nistakalti b'voa shali u'pachaz ala yitzri. And I saw a beautiful person, me. And I began to be intoxicated by that beauty." You know who else was drop dead beautiful? A man by the name of Yosef HaTzadik. And Chazal say that from the time that Yosef HaTzadik was separated from his brothers, he never drank any wine, and he is called in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Vayechi, Ulikadkod Nizir Echav. Shabbos, the Gemara Shabbos tells us that Yosef HaTzadik, from the moment he separated, and the idea is he introspected and he realized that there was something about him that also was off, and therefore he realized he had to do tshuva. The same Yosef who was misalsel b'saro, then he ignored his hair. Seyar has an arrogance, an element of engaging in an extraneous focus of the world, allure of beauty. The Nazir grows his hair long. There are two ideas behind this. One idea, as we will see in a moment, the Nazir separates himself. We'll get to that in a moment. But the Nazir also takes on the challenge, the focus, the challenge of the Yetzer Hara. And therefore Shimon HaTzadik tells us that this man who we saw was so beautiful, Amarti lo rasha lama tamid gaya ba'olam she'ino shalcha. I said to myself, "You wicked," meaning the Yetzer Hara, "why are you getting so caught up in your beauty?" B'mishu atid liyot rimavito le'a, somebody who ought to, in the end, will be worms and maggots. Ha'avodah she'agal chalcha l'shamayim, I will shave you for the sake of Shamayim, because that is the inyan of the Nazir, is first he grows it wild and then he shaves it off. And part of the idea of shaving it off is getting rid of it. Getting rid of that Yetzer Hara. Being able to handle the challenge of beauty. And therefore, says Shimon HaTzadik, Miyad amadati v'nashakti v'al rosho, I immediately kissed him on his head. The head is the crown, because he's in control of his desire. And so the Metzora shaves. The Metzora is somebody who got caught up in the wrong place also. Lashon Hara, arrogance, the Gemara says, it comes from Gassus HaRuach, it comes from arrogance, just like the Nazir is dealing with arrogance. He shaves the hair. And the Levi is the one that's likened to the Metzora. We'll get to the Levi in a moment. And he shaves his hair also. So one idea of the shaving of the hair, we said, is the Sefer Achinuch, which we'll go back to in a moment, based on Rav Hirsch, which is new life. And the second idea of the shaving of the hair is what? Tackling the challenge of desire, of gaiva, of taiva, of desire and arrogance. And that's also a part of what the Nazir deals with. And it's interesting to point out that what does the Nazir do with the hair? No, what does the Nazir do with it? He makes it as part of his sacrifice. Because if you take the Yetzer Hara and you conquer it, it can become part of your Avodas Hashem, part of your service as well. But Rav Hirsch takes it to another level. And Rav Hirsch says something very, very beautiful, very fantastic. Rav Hirsch says, Haseyar, the hair, also comes to protect the body. Ba'la hagein ala guf, comes to pretend. I don't know all the details, some of you probably know better. The redhead has to be very careful, he has fair skin, and the hair isn't as protective. Right? The hair protects the body. The hair comes to distance himself on a spiritual level. There's an Indian of a beard. Right? By the Zohar, there's an idea of not shaving your hair at all, not shaving the beard. because the hair represents a chachma, the hair represents a hashpa, the hair represents a certain idea of the flow of spirituality, and it protects one from the external world. And that's why there's a very thick book that's probably about 800 pages long about the virtues of making sure that you don't shave. And that's why the Hasidim are very into the beard. Hadras Panim Zakin, the name of the book is Hadras Panim Zakin. The beauty of the face is the beard. And that's why the difference between a Litvish Bachar and a Hasidish Bachar is whether he's clean shaven under the chuppah. By the Hasidim, it's a mark of shame to be clean shaven. The Satmar Rav once was very close with a particular Litvish Yid, and he once who was clean shaven, and he let him sit by the table at the front, the head of the tish. And somebody once said to him, "But Rebbe, he doesn't have a beard. How could you do that?" So the Satmar Rav, and I don't know, my Yiddish is very bad, but the Satmar Rav said, "Yeah, it's true. In Shemayim, they're going to say, Yid, vi is dein Bart. Where is your beard? Where is your beard?" But he said, but I turn to many of you, and I tell you that in Shemayim they're going to say, Bart, vi is dein Yid. Beard, where is your Jew? Where is your Jew? So, the Indian is, says Rav Hirsch, listen carefully, it's so profound. Look how he takes this idea, how he connects the Nazir, the Mitzorah, and the Levi. Look how beautiful it is. He says, and to distance himself from the external world, the material, which makes the body separate. When a person removes the hair, the nazir is not allowed to take one hair off the head. When he removes the hair, he's exposing himself. He's exposing himself. Mishum kach yofehi la'orer es alev la'shuv min ha'anochios ha'mivudedes imzos lo harei tiglachas ha'leviim karei tiglachas ha'mitzora. In other words, the nazir for 30 days, the minimum amount of time, we say the standard nazirus is 30 days because that's a significant growth of the hair. The nazir is being told to focus on himself and separate himself from the world, deal with your own problems, deal with your own issues in the context of that period. He doesn't shave his hair. Because the hair also has a connotation, not only of dealing with the gaiva, but it's also a separation from the world. The nazir is separated. Separated from the dead, separated from wine. He's separated. I remember many years ago, when we used to, be what they call a press conference, or Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, when I was in yeshiva, we used to go to Gush every once in a while. We asked Shilas, where Lichtenstein was the favorite. We used to ask him, should we be involved in NC? We're going to leave yeshiva, we're going to go back to America, we're going to go to Yeshiva University or Ne Yisrael, wherever we're going to go. And then there's something called NCSY, which is a very popular youth group. And we should we be involved in NCSY, or should we be involved in learning? So Rav Lichtenstein told us, Lichtenstein never just gave a straight answer. On the one hand, on the other hand, that's what Lichtenstein, that was always him. But I remember Lichtenstein said, you should know, the more you focus on yourself now, the more you become a bodade and just focus on learning now, the more valuable you'll be for Klal Yisrael later on. The Nazir separates himself, listen carefully, in order to re-engage. The Nazir separates himself. During this period of time, he doesn't cut his hair. Lashuv min ha'anochios ha'mivudedes. He has to what? He separates himself, and he's no longer part of the external world. But eventually he's going to re-engage. The re-engagement is marked by what? By the cutting of the hair, right? That was the paradox we raised. He's told he's not allowed to what? He's not allowed to shave any hair, not even comb his hair. But once he becomes ice nazir, the way is it, he has to shave everything, right? And he can't. It has to be what? It has to be with a razor. What's between a razor and a scissor? Because the razor destroys any semblance of hair that's on the skin and only leaves what's underneath the skin, and the razor therefore represents a complete and total re-engagement with the world. And isn't it interesting, says Rav Hirsch, The same thing is true with the Levi. The Levi until now was living a private life. But what happened? What did we read in the Torah when we started the Shir about 2 or 3 years ago? It's a bad joke. When the Levi, right, is introduced in the Parsha, where the Torah tells us, and I am giving the Levian from Bnei Yisrael. They're being dedicated. They no longer have private lives. The Nazir is a private life. Therefore, when he re-engages, he what? He cuts the hair. The Mitzora was the insidious private life. The pernicious, narcissistic tendency of the one who's focused on self. That's the Mitzora, himself, to the hurt of others. Therefore the Torah says, you're focused on yourself, get out of here. Badad Yeshev. The Nazir doesn't have to be Michutz Lamachane. The Nazir doesn't have to be out of the camp, but he's living out of the camp. You hear the difference? The Mitzora is physically out of the camp, right? He's out of the camp, physically. But he's, but because he's toxic. The Nazir, his goal is ultimately Kedusha, holiness, and re-engagement. But he's really separating himself. Famous Gemara in Maseches Nazir. A Nazir, sounds like a joke. A Nazir and a Kohen Gadol walking down the street and they see a dead body. Who becomes Tameh? Rav Elazar and the Chacham say that the Nazir becomes Tameh, and Rav Elazar says the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh. They see a dead body, a Meis Mitzvah, because they have to become Tameh for the Meis Mitzvah. Rav Hirsch says an interesting thing. Rav Hirsch says that the Nazir is re-engaging. The Levim are leaving their personal private space and they're now becoming a totally different new personas. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was totally given over to Klal Yisrael. So Rav David Feinstein, his son, once, I think it was Rav David or Reuven, one of the two, once said that their father was completely and totally immersed in the problems of the Jewish people. So somebody once asked him, what did it feel like? Your father belonged to Klal Yisrael. What about you? And he said, my father even missed my son's bar mitzvah. In other words, Reuven's son, Rav Moshe's grandson, Rav Moshe was not able to attend the bar mitzvah because it was the same Shabbos as the Aguda convention, which was the convention where all the great Torah scholars and well over 1,000 Jews would get together to hear Chizuk and Torah from the great Torah scholars. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt he had to go. So they asked him, how did you feel? Reuven Feinstein said, I knew my father loved me and always remembered me because there were always three things I always kept in my mind. This is where I heard the story. I think I read it also in Pesach Kron. Number one, he said, I remember I've shared the story on occasion. My father would always, whenever we had at the table great guests, they were always welcome to sit around, but he always made sure that the kids would be closest to him. And at Rav Moshe Feinstein's table, they had the greatest guests. So on the one hand, complete engagement in the world. On the other hand, you have to know how to draw the line. Right? The private and the public. And he said, just to finish up that story, Rav Moshe, he said, I knew my father always, never forgot me, because they have these things in New York, it's called the winter. You might have heard of it, snow, radiators, very, very cold. Right? So he said that my father would always come, wake up very early, and during the winter he would take my clothing, and he would make sure that he would put them on the radiator, so it would be warm, that when I wake up, I'd be able to dress in warm clothing. And he said the third thing was that we always used to learn in the bungalow commons. Jews would escape from New York to go upstate, and they'd have these hay rides, which was fun for the kids. And my father and I would learn together all the time, but when the hay rides came, my father said, stop, go and have a good time. So my father belonged to Klal Yisrael, but I always knew that he was deeply connected to me. But the Levi leaves his private space and now becomes part of Klal Yisrael. The Levi, the Mitzora, and the Nazir, they cut their hair because the cutting of the hair is no longer are they protected. They now are engaged in the world. And Rav Hirsch says, I wanted to finish this point here, Rav Hirsch says that the concept of the Nazir is the private time in order Kibel al atzmo l'tkufat anezirut ein hu rotzeh lehina tek min ha'olam mibechina mikomit. He doesn't want to separate physically, but he needs to work on himself, and therefore he creates the private space. All three of them are creating the private space. Now, yeah.
I have a question about the boy who waits when he's 3 years old to have his hair cut. Is it connected at all with
anything? It could be that boy is sort of like, he's a private person until now, it's his own world, and now sort of like he's now becoming part of Klal Yisrael, he's got to learn Torah. It's a very, very beautiful idea. So what do we have? We have two themes of the hair. Hair represents gaiva, taiva, desire, and arrogance. And Yosef HaTzadik is conquering himself, and therefore he becomes a Nazir, and the Gemara Nedarim Daftes, right? And that whole Indian, that's one idea. And also the cutting of the hair, of her says, is the idea of what? Is the idea of the re-engagement. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that the cutting of the hair is a new life. And we could put Rav Hirsch and the Sefer HaChinuch together beautifully, because the new life is a life of re-engagement. It all. I'm no longer selfish. I'm no longer self-focused. I'm now a Klal Yisrael Yid. But I want to take it one step further, Rabosai. And with this, we'll end the shir. But it's a very, very important idea. And we said, by the way, the Nazir takes his hair and he makes it as part of the karban. Why? Because the Nazir's engagement with self was meant ultimately to become part of divine service. The Mitzorah, his engagement with self was never meant to be part of divine service. It was never meant by design. It was an Aveira. The Levi's engagement with self was part of his private persona, and now the Levi is becoming part of Klal Yisrael, and he can never go back. The Levi is always going to belong to Klal Yisrael. And we said that the Nazir cuts the top of his head, not his whole body. Why? Why does the Levi cut his whole body and the Nazir cuts only the top of his head, only the hair on the head? It could be that what? Because the Levi is completely and totally part of Klal Yisrael. The Nazir, he's tackling his demons, his Yetzer Hara, which is represented by the hair on the head, the Gaiva. So once he tackles that, then he's what? And he's able to move on. It could be that might be the idea. But I want to share with you something very, very deep. Mamish, very, very the deepest. I have 5 minutes to do the best I can. You know that there are a few famous Nazirs in Jewish history.
Shimshon.
Anybody know of another less famous Nazir?
Shmuel wasn't the other.
Shmuel. But another famous Nazir, but less famous. His name was Avshalom. Avshalom, and it's interesting, yeah, that Avshalom is a Nazir, and if you remember, Avshalom was the one that killed his brother
Amnon,
his half brother, because Amnon violated Avshalom's full sister, whose name was Tamar, and David HaMelech was very upset with that, obviously. And you might also remember, and listen carefully, that Avshalom was one of the famous sons of David who rebelled against David and who started his own counter-Malchus, his own kingdom. This is what we're told. We're told in the Navi. First, let me tell you the Gemara Nazir Daf Dalet, page 4b. Rebbe Omer Avshalom Nazir Olam Hayom. Avshalom was a Nazir forever. And in fact, there's a different opinions, but we're told in the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota tells us that Avshalom Nitga'e Bisa'aro. Avshalom b'sa'aro marad. Avshalom took great pride in his hair. Listen to the irony. The inyan of the Nazir is what? What's the irony? The idea of the Nazir is what? Is he supposed to what? Repudiate. Right? The arrogance and the engagement with the material self. Right? He's supposed to repudiate that. But if you grow the hair long, you know, sometimes it can cut in both directions. So, therefore, we are told in the book of Shmuel Beis Perek Yudalid, Uka Avshalom, Lo Hayah Ish Yafeh B'chol Yisrael. There was nobody as beautiful as Avshalom. Mikaf raglo ad kad gado, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish. Uvigolcho es rosho, and he would shave his head at the year's end, because somebody that is a nazir for somebody that is a nazir for eternity has a dispensation to shave his hair when it gets too heavy. So we're told in the Navi that he weighed the hair of his head. It was 200 shekels according to the king's weight. Be'evin HaMelech. It was very, very heavy. And it's very interesting. This Avshalom, who became a person that ultimately was more arrogant because of letting his hair grow. So arrogant that he ridiculed his father, David HaMelech. According to Chazal, Avshalom came from a union of a Yafas Toar with David, which I don't want to explain that whole idea right now. And Avshalom began to ridicule his father. And he said, my father should be the king, I'm the king. And we find something very interesting. I'm sure you're familiar with this. But if not, you can look at it, Shmuel Beis, chapter 18. We are told, Avshalom met the servants of David. Avshalom was running away because David HaMelech was fighting against that insurrection. Imagine what it means to have to fight against your son. Some of you don't have to imagine. Do it weekly, daily. And Avshalom rode upon a mule. Avshalom rochev al aperet. Vayavo aperet tachat sovech ha'ila. And it went, the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. Vayechezak rosho ba'ila. And his head caught hold of the oak. Vayitain vayutan bein ha'shamayim v'bein ha'aretz. And he was cast between heaven and earth, and that hair got stuck in the great oak, and the mule went, the mule that was under walked on, and we are given that picture of Avshalom hanging by his hair. That hair, by the way, which can hold two elephants, as per the 20 crazy facts that I got from the internet. So here we have an amazing thing. The Nazir, right? The Seyar, which represents dealing with desire, maybe representing overcoming desire, maybe representing engagement, right? And overcoming. But of course, as we know, like everything in life, when you get caught up in something, you can take that very agenda, and you can take that very agenda. The Nazir who wants to separate himself, the Nazir can turn into a Metzorah, right? The Nazir can become totally intoxicated by himself. And we're told that Avshalom, according to Chazal, Avshalom takes on his father, the hair becomes something that does him in, and he dies by that hair. In contrast is Yosef HaTzadik. That Yosef HaTzadik, the other one who is criticized by swirling his hair, right? That Yosef HaTzadik, who according to Chazal, at that point and on, when he goes to Mitzrayim, refuses to drink any wine, refuses to touch that hair, because Yosef HaTzadik takes that element that could be the element of desire, and he uses it to protect himself. The engagement with the material world, or lack of engagement with the material world, both of them can sometimes do us in. Sometimes the Nazir, as we know, sometimes the Nazir who separates himself from the material world can get haughty. Avshalom got very haughty. Avshalom got very haughty. Or it could be the ability to focus on one's life. What am I doing with life? Am I going in the right way? Am I getting caught up in the wrong things? So we have this fascinating contrast. This fascinating contrast. I want to leave you with this. There's a lot. I'm just giving you some of the the key Maariv Mekomo, some of the key ideas. There's a lot when it comes to hair. Avshalom, the Nazir, Yosef, the Mitzora, the Leviim, the Sota, whose hair grows wild, right? The Sota, the Nazir learns from the Sota what not to do. A lot of interconnectedness. But let me leave you with this. This idea. The Avel, the mourner, is not allowed to cut his hair. That's a rabbinic idea, that he doesn't cut his hair. Why? Because he's in his own world. The Avel, the mourner, is in his own space. The mourner has to deal with his own challenges. So sometimes when a person is in his or her own space, being in your own space can be a tremendously uplifting and important place to be. You know, the people that are working on their 12 steps and the people that are working on their own ruchnius, it's a tremendous place to be. But you know, sometimes when a person is so caught up in their own ruchnius, when they're so caught up in their own space, so sometimes that very makom of being in their own space can lead them to looking down upon the rest of the world. Oh, he's not a Nazir. Oh, he's not where I'm holding. Oh, he's a little bit less than. Avshalom is the one who teaches us that we have to be careful, even when we're engaged in the world of Ruchnius, we have to be careful not to allow that to become a place of spirituality which is arrogant. On the one hand, we need to be focused on our own growth. On the other hand, if we're not able to see other people's challenges, then I'm taking that ruchnius in the wrong direction. I want to give everybody a bracha that we should spend time for ourselves focusing on what's wrong with our life and making the necessary corrections. And when we are in that space and in that place, we should have the ability to look at people that maybe aren't where we're at and not say, oh, you're not the Nazir. Oh, you're not where I'm holding. Because the spiritual danger of that approach can lead one to become that Avshalom, can lead one to come to that makom of spiritual arrogance, which, God forbid, can lead to a very, very terrible space. Hashem should give every one of us the right blend, the right balance, and the right ability, and we should be able to use our hair and our lives properly.